Welcome to another BlindBargains.com exclusive audio podcast brought to you by the AT Guys, your assistive technology experts. Visit ATGuys.com today for all your technology needs. Now, here's J.J. Meadow.
We're here with Charles LaPierre, the Chief Technical Officer for Sendero, and there are a lot of cool new toys up here in the Sendero suite at CSUN. Welcome to Blind Bargains.
Thank you.
Oh, where do we start? There's a lot going on. Why don't we start out with the newly announced, or the features were just announced for the Sendero GPS 2010.
Yes, so we're really excited about the new features that are coming out with the next version, which hopefully will be out in the next few months. Obviously, we're going to have the 2010 maps and the new 2010 points of interest to go along with that. And we've been cranking away down in the workshop there. And we're going to be adding in, let's see, for route calculations, you're going to have a lot more options now. Not just a vehicle or pedestrian route, but for vehicle routes, you can have preferred highways, avoid highways, no highways. There's for the turns, you can have favors right turns, favors left turns for our UK or for our European folks, or fewest turns, which is an interesting option,
especially
as well.
Walking too. Or
exactly, and that'll actually go for both pedestrian. So fewest turns instead of
that's
zigzagging.
Interesting, because I know a lot of times when I've done driving directions on the Braille note, it will try to get you the absolute shortest route. But
right.
You know, the people you're driving with, like, I don't want to turn every 5 miles.
Exactly, my wife's the same thing.
So where's the balance? How does, is it just try to do the fewest turns regardless of how long it takes?
No. It gives a weight to a turn. And so if really it makes sense to go a couple turns, it will do that. It won't try to take the absolute shortest amount of turns. So it has a nice balance to it. And we've been working with that algorithm to tweak it to a nice sweet spot.
I guess, so I noticed, for instance, there's a toll road option in there, so there's a choice to avoid.
Avoid toll roads, or don't even go on a toll road at all, or have it normal. Just, use a toll road if you come up to it versus...
Right, well, there was avoid and there was none, I think was the other...
That's right. So don't go on any toll roads is none option, or avoid if possible is the other option, or just normal third option.
So if I really put... none, and I was trying to get through the city of Chicago, like, would it take me all the way around the city then, or
because if that's the only way to do it, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Would it give you an error if you're really, what if your destination's on a toll road?
Then it would say unable to create the route.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so then you would have to turn back that option, or turn it to avoid if possible. Okay. Option, and we have the same for roundabouts. So for pedestrian use, that's a great option to say, I don't want to go on any type of roundabout, or avoid if possible again, or the normal way. So yeah, there's a lot of different, and these are all through the route management that you can change, and you can change it on the fly. So if you created a route and then you're like, you know what, I want to try to avoid a toll road because I see that I'm going to be on a toll road, or change that, you can change it and it'll recalculate, ask you if you want to recalculate the route on the fly.
Okay. I saw something about there's some new look around options as far as when you were traveling on a route.
Yeah, well, a lot of people when you're on a route and things are speaking to you and it's not route related, you get these points of interest triggering and
McDonald's 500 feet
exactly, and you're like, do I have to pay attention to that? Like, do I need to turn off here? So we now have some route options. So while you're on a route, you can turn off specific things. So no points of interest to be triggered, or no street changes or map changes or city changes. And so you can really customize the amount of speech talking to you in look around. And then when you turn off the route, it comes back full to what you had it at. So, yeah, you have a lot of flexibility there when following routes now.
Okay. So this is all stuff that's going to be available in the 2010 version for the Braille note.
Yes, and actually two other huge features on that is we now implemented favorites list and a history list. And it is pretty nice. People are really finding, our alpha testers and beta testers are really finding that they're using a lot, especially the history, because it just knows wherever you created a route, to a set of destinations, set an address. It stores all of these. When you first come up and you're in GPS mode, it'll store that location of your GPS position or your first virtual position so that you can always quickly get back to one of those points.
Okay. How many does it keep?
The buffer around 24, 25, depending on if it's already been in your history, it'll move it to the top of the list versus it'll add a new one if it didn't already exist in your history.
Okay.
And favorites is unlimited, and it can be any type of a favorite. It can be an address, it can be a point of interest, it can be, you know, and you can add these things to your...
Is that different? Because Geo had favorites, I think. They added that themselves.
They did. They added it themselves. This is now in our SDK, so all of the SDK different product lines will be able to use this functionality. And our favorites, you know, I think with Geo, it was only for a point of interest.
Right.
Where now it'll be an address that you can add to a favorite or different things. And so when, let's say you did an address lookup, and you get to the actions menu to set your virtual position there, mm-hmm. one of the options will be add to favorites.
Sure.
And then you add it to your favorite, and then you put back into that list saying, okay, now set that as my explore position. So you have it in both places now.
Okay. Can you, are there options to share favorites between the different platforms? Or?
The file will be transferable.
Sure.
So that you can just transfer it. And it's stored in your maps directory. Mm-hmm. So if you have different map directories for, you're going to Chicago, you put the Chicago, you changed it to that folder, now you'll have your Chicago favorites and your Chicago history there.
I see.
Yeah.
For each one.
Absolutely.
Is there any way to import, export if you wanted to, say, share your favorites with somebody else? Or?
Right now, we don't have an option to do that. You can just copy it from your drive and then bring it.
But it would overwrite the ones that they had.
That's true.
Yeah.
Unless you made a new directory and popped them in there.
There was a mention a couple months back about the possibility of importing the Google Transit feeds. Is that something that's still being worked on? Or?
Actually, we just finished up a grant on that, and we got it working with the 2010 version. And mm-hmm. so we now can... I have 10 feeds right now that I've downloaded from Google. It's not as automated as I wanted it to be, but we can go and find one of the feeds and then bring it into this conversion utility that will spit out at the end a zip file containing all of the information. And we're going to pop that to our website. And if you have version 2010 or newer, when you log in, one of the options will be linked to the GTFS Google Transit feeds. And you'll have all of the zip files in there with all of the different agency names, and you can download the one that you want.
Cool. There's been a lot of talk. I know there was some discussion on a couple of the mailing lists over the last week or two about the concerns of people, especially on the other platforms, falling way behind with maps.
Yeah.
There was a suggestion made about, you know, why can't we get the new maps without the new SDK? Is that, I know the current answer is no, but is that something that's possible at some point maybe? Or?
It's possible, but we have to also worry about copy protection.
Sure.
And so that friends don't give you, an older version person the latest maps.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be concerned about that to some degree. And there's also some changes that have to be made that are not backward compatible.
Sure, in the formats.
Exactly, like points of interest change and we lose a category. We merge multiple categories into a single one because we don't really want to have airports and international airports and smaller airports and bring those all into one. You know, mm-hmm. So then that's a change that, you know, simplifies it but makes it incompatible. You do. Well, sorry. I'm in an interview. Be quiet. Yeah, so...
Sure.
It's maybe possible, but the thing is we have to, you know, it's a lot of work.
Not with the current framework.
Not with the current framework, but, it's something we are considering in the future possibly.
Sure. Or maybe there's a way to get the other developers, the SDK, a little bit quicker so they aren't...
Yeah, exactly.
It seems like there's always this year lag. Or,
and, you know, Mobile Geo has been very nice. They've been keeping up with us, and then the others have dropped off a bit.
Are they going to have 2000? Because aren't they? They're still doing 09 maps at the moment.
They're 2009, but so is the Braille Note right now.
Right.
So no one has the 2010 version,
okay.
And that's really we're just building it right now, literally.
Right.
Like my computer's at home grinding away at so the European maps because it does take a long time to make these things.
Okay. There's some other cool toys here. Let's
Want to see the iPhone?
I do want to see the iPhone.
All right, let's bring up the iPhone here.
That's 11:25. Might want to turn the volume up a little bit.
Yep. Okay, so I'm going to open that up.
Pull it down just a tiny bit because it still isn't just so distorted.
Welcome to the Sendero GPS Lookaround application for the iPhone. Touch a button or shake the phone to get location information.
Okay, so I'm going to just move my finger down the iPhone.
Okay.
Where am I button?
Where am I?
Nearest cross street button.
Okay.
Nearest 5 points of interest button. Compass button. Map button.
And then...
Help button.
So I'll go on to the Where Am I?
Okay.
Where Am I button.
And now I'll just click it.
Where Am I button.
And now it's getting the information. So it takes us...
Facing east near 86 Market PL in San Diego.
So we're facing east on Marketplace in San Diego.
Are we actually getting a GPS fix up here?
It's probably not getting a GPS fix, but it's more likely getting a cell phone tower fix. So
this even works to an extent inside. I mean, obviously not accurate to the foot,
right?
But it would work, it gives you something because of the cell phone tower.
Absolutely, yeah. And when you click on a button, and it'll actually vibrate the phone as well as give you an audio beep to tell you, okay, it is working at this point. It's mm-hmm. now connecting to the server to determine it's sending at your current lat long and then getting back the information. So let's go down to nearest cross street.
Nearest cross street button. Nearest cross street button. You are on Market PL. Nearest cross street is W Harbor Drive.
That's okay. Cool. So are all the maps loaded on there, or is it pulling it down remotely?
It's pulling it down remotely, yes. Okay. So, but on the server, all of the maps for the U.S. or Europe or whatever is all there. And
nearest 5 points of interest button.
And now I'll do that one.
Nearest 5 points of interest button.
So it's going to take
a
second.
So there we kind of have the Wayfinder model going where you're relying on the internet connection, which is assumed to always be there anyway.
Right.
So this would only work if you were in some remote location in the middle of nowhere and you had no service, you wouldn't have this.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And it's...
Request timed out.
Oh, see, and then the request just timed out. The other feature that you can actually shake the iPhone to mm-hmm. get information. Let's see if we can get something here. So it just beeped and vibrated.
You just shook it.
I just shook it.
Okay.
And hopefully... Oh.
Facing north near 86 Market PL in San Diego. Nearest cross street is W Harbor Drive. Nearest point of interest is Whip Cross Objects of Fine Art and is 755 feet to the northwest.
There you go.
Is that the complete 12, 15 million points of interest on there?
I don't know exactly what database they're using. This is, again, connecting to the Dakarta server.
Okay.
And we had, and this is
and
also
still
an alpha.
This out,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. So mm-hmm. we're not sure exactly how many points of interest it has and if it has all of the restaurants and stuff, okay. But it's definitely it's getting better. We noticed between alpha 3 and alpha 4 that all of a sudden we were starting to get restaurants.
Okay.
Where we weren't getting them before. So,
there's
work in progress.
There's a compass button on there? Does that
yeah,
work?
There's a compass button, so I can go down to that.
Compass button.
And let me just tap it.
Compass button. Facing northeast.
Now I'll move the phone and I'll do it again.
Compass button. Compass button. Facing southeast.
Is there a compass built in that phone? Or?
Absolutely, yeah. The iPhone, there is a compass built in. So we're taking advantage of that. Mm-hmm. And we're hoping that when you ask where am I, that it'll actually take your current compass heading, and then be able to tell you these points of interest are to your left or your right. And if you turn around and do the same thing again, it'll update. Yeah.
What about the map button? Does that work?
The map button basically just brings you to Google Maps, which is built into the iPhone.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's a built-in app.
Mm-hmm. So what's the purpose of doing something like this? Because, I mean, there's some function and maybe a little bit of novelty to it, but, I mean, obviously, that isn't a complete GPS solution.
No, this is just a basic, we're hoping to release this look around. It's called Sendero GPS look around for the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope to have it through, we're going to have it through the App Store. And it's either going to be a free or a very low cost, 99-cent, application. And that's our first to get our foot in the water.
And to bring bring some awareness.
Yeah, exactly. And we're hoping to leverage that maybe some sighted folks will buy this as well mm-hmm. and help underwrite the cost so that we can then come out with a more complete version in the future on the iPhone that will have route creation and route following real time for vehicle and pedestrian use.
Okay. That is definitely very interesting. It's probably one of the more innovative things that we've seen here.
All right, thank you.
You mentioned the compass, and I know there's another, there's a desktop thing that we're going to look at in a second.
Yep.
The voice sense, QWERTY has a compass now.
Yes, I just heard that.
All right, so I guess that almost answers the next question. So there's probably nothing built in yet into the 2010 to take advantage of that, or are they going to do that on their own? Or do
you That's a good question. Yeah, they would have to. There is some calls in the SDK as it stands to update your GPS position, including your heading. But there might be some work, and we'll hope. You know, we'll definitely work with HIMSS to, you know, if they want to give us reliable compass information, then we can use that instead of our interpolation of
Or maybe a combination of both.
It
really depends if an electronic compass of how good the compass
That's
is.
That's right.
You know.
Yeah, and it's very good on the iPhone. I'm very impressed with
no
the...
No GPS data available.
Okay.
Okay. That's nice to know. Yeah, well, I'm sure there's some rewriting that I'll have to do because they have the built-in receiver, too, so you know, we don't have to worry about...
And they will actually... And if they do it smart, they could actually get both information to their internal GPS and update that GPS with their compass reading before the SDK even gets it, and therefore it will be accurate then.
Right.
So that could be very... That could be very exciting.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. So, and it's an all-in-one solution. So.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We might want to have that stop. Oh, it's locked now.
Yeah, so it's locked.
Okay. So there's yet another thing here.
Yes. We're now adding a PC version, for Windows PC version of our Sendero Maps, which is a virtual exploration.
Atlas Speaks?
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. We have Atlas Speaks now, reincarnated.
It's coming around full circle.
Exactly. And it's exciting to actually work on this again. And I really hope this will be a great tool, and it'll be part of the bundles that when you buy a full-blown GPS product from Sendero, you will get a PC version starting in 2010, this PC Maps version, and you'll be able to do virtual exploration and route calculations very quickly because you have the power of your PC, and then transfer that data, those maps and the like, down to your Braille Note or your mobile geo platforms or any of the SDK platforms. It'll all work.
Okay. So, for instance, with mobile geo, it won't be the version that's shipping now. It'll be the next version.
That's correct.
Okay, so not the people who already bought it. It'll be whenever 2010 comes out.
I believe so.
Okay,
I believe that.
Yeah. Well, let's
fire that up.
Sure.
In San Diego, California.
Okay. Well, that's good. We're in San Diego.
Okay.
And so I'm just going to tab through the different fields that are currently on the screen here.
I'm just
going to press the tab button.
City C. San Diego, California, read only edit box.
And right now this is working with WindowEyes, but I also have JAWS on this machine as well, so it can work with either screen reader.
Sure.
And we have, you know, the default, it's just going to read the screen, but we also interface with their speech API to do some automatic announcements.
JAWS and WindowEyes?
Yes,
I know the System Access and NVDA people are going to make sure I ask if you're going to add them too, or...
definitely work with them. If they give me their information, I can definitely create these speech APIs to talk to their screen readers
very
as well.
Similar to the other ones.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it was very simple to do both JAWS and WindowEyes, so I'm sure it'll be easy.
Okay.
So let me go down, tab again.
Nearest intersection on ramp to COM94M, behind the head-read only edit box. Detailed intersection.
Is this all virtual?
This is all virtual.
Okay, so we're not using a receiver at this point.
Correct, yeah. And the first version, we're just going to come out with a virtual only.
Okay.
And we may add in GPS in the future, which would be a great option for a standalone netbook-type solution. But that's not currently in the development.
It's the type of thing we swore off GPS for the computer several years back because they were too heavy, but now that with the size of netbooks,
they
almost became viable again.
It's coming around full circle, you know?
Right.
That's the Strider version of Atlas Speaks and Strider.
But not in the backpack anymore.
GPS Talk from Sendero back in the day, you know? So we're coming, but then now you're going to have the latest maps and the functionality. Yeah, and the beauty is because the SDK is the same, you know, it's all this, you know, so you have the same look and feel that you're already familiar with.
Okay.
And let's see, it tells me the odometer.
Odometer 01.39 meter only. Nearest point P. Elvia's Latin Connection, 658 feet southwest. Red only.
The odometer is that the amount of as you're going around
as you're walking. Okay. Yeah, it'll keep track of that. Then we have the destination set.
Destination D. Destination right side red only edit box.
And then.
Route distance R. Remaining distance and route 6.12 meters. Read only edit box.
And then down at the bottom, we have an events log that that we can then virtually, because we have a route open, mm-hmm. the virtual navigation will be going from turn to turn in the route.
Okay.
You turn off the route, the virtual navigation will be from, you know, just like exploring the map in virtual mode and all of our other products.
Mm-hmm.
So,
event waypoint 10 red.
So I'll move forward in the route.
532 feet, waypoint 10.
How did you do that with the arrow key?
Yeah, Alt L, arrow.
Alt and arrows?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Alt plus the arrow keys right now. There's a slight issue with JAWS that I'm trying to work out, that Alt up arrow and JAWS is close the list box and it's overriding.
Ah.
So we'll have to see how we can
write
work
a script
with,
or something.
Come up with different, or mm-hmm. allow the user to assign a different hotkey or override JAWS or whatever.
Yeah.
We have a very quick address lookup. You can do an Alt S to bring up, just like in on the QWERTY on the Braille note.
Okay.
Alt
S. Dialog address lookup map M California combo box 1 of 1.
And
arrow.
So I can move. I'm going to hit Tab and get into the city field.
Okay.
City C combo
and
box.
I'm going to type in San Diego.
S A N space.
And I don't have to type in the whole word.
D-I.
Okay.
And I could at this press enter, which will then look for matches of that.
Okay.
Or I can tab to the next field.
Number and edit box.
And I'm going to type number one. And I'm going to tab to the next.
Street as combo. Edit box.
And type in market.
M-A-R-K-E-T.
And I'm going to just hit enter now. So it has to do two lookups. It has to look to figure out what city mm-hmm. you wanted to go to, as well as the street.
City C. San Diego Country Estates 1 of 3 combo edit box.
Well, that's not the one I wanted.
San
no.
Diego
there it
2
is.
Of 3.
That's better.
And so now I can just press enter again.
Street S. Market Creek Place Die 1 of 5 combo edit box.
And that's not the,
no.
the one I want.
Market PL 2 of 5.
That's better.
There it is. And I hit enter now.
SD button.
Now I got the next button, and I just hit enter.
Explore position E button. Dialog actions default explore position E button destination D button vehicle route V button pedestrian route.
So
P
you
button,
can either create your routes or you can just
button.
Virtually explore.
Absolutely.
The same options you'd have on the
yeah,
many
just like
the
yeah, exactly. So yeah. Very, very similar look and feel, but the power of the PC brings up those, can populate those dialog boxes practically instantaneously
yeah.
for it'll look up all streets in a city if you left that blank and you. Yeah,
and it doesn't take that long at all.
No, it doesn't.
Compared to the other.
Exactly. So mm-hmm. it's really gives you a lot of power. And creating routes, you could create one across country if you had all the maps loaded.
Okay.
And then be able to save that and then bring it into like Mobile Geo or to the Braille Notes.
Okay. If somebody just wants to buy this, is that going to be an option? Or
yes, we are going to consider that as well. And it'll probably be a low fee, a couple $100 or thereabouts.
To license the map.
Yeah, exactly. You know. And then, exactly. So.
Okay. That is that's really cool. If we've been talking. There's been a lot of talk about Wayfinder, the demise of that.
Oh yeah.
Are there any plans for Sendero? Are you guys looking at Symbian at all? Or you know, there's going to be a lot of users left with nothing. And
yeah, we're definitely looking into the Symbian platform.
Right.
You know, it's there's a lot of users already, and there's been talks on how to facilitate a GPS solution for Symbian now that Wayfinder is gone. Is there, you know, ways
right.
to take it over? I don't know. Build our own, that's an
right.
option. You know, but, you know, we're definitely considering Symbian because there's so much demand for it.
Sure.
But we had to sort of pick and choose. And, you know, the options were Symbian, iPhone, and PC. And currently we decided to go with PC and the iPhone.
Right
now, and
probably
know.
In part because the solution still does work for Symbian, and
right? And we're not sure what the outcome is going to be, so we just thought,
right.
you know, we'll just hold off on that for a bit. You know, Sendero is a small company, so we have limited resources, and so this is what we decide to work on currently, and we'll see what happens in the future.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If people want to get more information about Sendero, how might they do that?
Well, go to our website. It's a perfect place, www.senderogroup, all one word, senderogroup.com.
Okay.
And then there's always our 1-800 number, or 888 number, 1-888-757-6810, or, you know, email support at senderogroup.com, or there's a number of different info. Or we are on Twitter and Facebook now.
Yeah.
I think it's Sendero GPS on Twitter.
Yep.
And our also we have a Facebook presence, and all of that's you can connect to through our website. It's the Twittering age now. You had to be on Twitter and Facebook and all of these other things. And
sure.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to see what's going on. We're getting tweets already here in the room saying, "Oh, I'm down at the booth and people are coming in," and this is amazing.
Oh yeah, there's all sorts of people that are tweeting from the conference. It's fun to
watch.
It's
pretty cool. It's very cool.
Well, thanks for showing me all the toys.
All right, thanks. Love it.
This has been another exclusive audio podcast from Blind Bargains. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest technology deals, news, and interviews. So long.